Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The number of long-term substitute teachers in Michigan classrooms increased by 10 times in just 5 years. We'll have the details later in this hour from Bridge Magazine reporter Ron French. But first, Michigan voters might have approved of the recreational use of marijuana, but it appears they're not as keen on the idea of marijuana businesses in their towns. This week, three communities voted to reject proposals for different kinds of marijuana businesses, everything from retail to growing facilities. Joining us now is one of the leading opponents of legalized weed in Michigan, Scott Greenlee with Greenlee Consulting. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
I think the most surprising vote came out of Highland Park. Voters in that city voted more than 2-1 for recreational use of marijuana, but rejected by a fairly wide margin a proposal for marijuana businesses. Why do you think that happened?
You know, I think as people are starting to understand more and more of how the law is written, they're having second thoughts. We had several voters who were quoted in some of the Detroit papers as having voted for the proposal and regretting that vote. And like Colorado, where about 75-80% of the state has opted out of having the business of marijuana in their community, I think Michigan will follow suit. And in a few years, you'll see, you know, marijuana businesses available only in some large metropolitan areas.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press reported that more than 500 communities passed ordinances banning marijuana businesses. But in some of those, voters are working to put the issue on the ballot in the hope that the voters see it differently than the city councils and village boards. What do you expect to come from those efforts?
I think more often than not, the council's decision will be upheld, and we're aware that there are a lot of other communities that are working on opting out, if you will, and taking that move even before voters would consider it, and that's because of pressure that they're getting from their residents. So I expect that number to continue to climb. Certainly there will be some challenges in some communities, but by and large, I think it'll be upheld, and you'll see certainly not the majority of communities wanting this business in their communities.
As a leading opponent of legalized marijuana, what is your strategy during this period of working out whether cities will allow marijuana businesses?
So Healthy and Productive Michigan is now doing strictly education and of course, policy encouragement. So we're working with municipalities on how they opt out. We're certainly available to provide facts and figures and examples from around the country, Colorado being the one that's had legalized recreational marijuana for the longest amount in the U.S. So we use a lot of the examples there. And certainly we're out and we're speaking when we're requested, which it seems like we get a speaking request every week, and just trying to do everything that we can to encourage everything to be as responsible as possible, and certainly to help those that don't want the business in their community. And that's an important distinction. Because of the voter's vote, people may use marijuana recreationally wherever they want in the state of Michigan, although it's obviously still illegal federally, and Michigan, the last time I checked, is still part of the United States. So some organizations like the University of Michigan and Michigan State and other federally funded organizations came out immediately and said, nowhere, no how on our property, period, end of story. That said, obviously Michigan voters have decided to disregard federal law, and technically, therefore, in Michigan, I guess, it's legal to use anywhere. This opting out only has to do with the business side of things. So people in those communities should be able to apparently use marijuana recreationally. They just can't buy it within the bounds of those communities.
Well, let's talk about some of those businesses, because some of them are about checking the product to make sure it's safe, that it's processed correctly. How do you think banning those businesses will affect those who want to access marijuana they know is not contaminated by pesticides or something like that?
You know, it's, again, unfortunate that the check and balance type of businesses, because of the way the 6,500-word proposal, that's right, 6,500 words, which a lot of voters didn't realize how detailed and yet ambiguous the entire proposal was if they had read more than just the 100 words that were on the ballot. So it's unfortunate that they've bundled together those type of businesses with the retail stores and things like that. So voters in those communities and many others are simply saying, we don't want anything to do with it. Those communities that are going to choose to sell it from a retail standpoint to grow it, they can have the check and balance type businesses located in those communities as well.
You know,
they essentially want to keep marijuana and everything to do with marijuana as far away from their kids, their schools, their neighborhoods as possible.
You know, some people are looking at this as an important economic development issue. One of the public universities, Lake Superior State University, has launched two cannabis degree programs, one in chemistry, one in business. Why would you continue to fight even when institutions like that are embracing this as a legitimate business opportunity?
Well, it's kind of funny. Again, I default to federal law. You know, I mean, if it's against the law to kill someone federally and Michigan voters say, no, in Michigan, it's going to be okay, I'm probably going to default to a federal situation. And obviously that's a stretch, but years ago you would have thought legalizing marijuana and kind of picking and choosing what federal laws you were going to adhere to would have been a stretch as well. Look, I know that there are these type of economic programs, but when you talk about economics, it's interesting to find out that in the great state of California, who just legalized recreational marijuana in 2018, they actually took in less tax dollars. Understand that. They took in less tax dollars that year than they had in 2017 when it was only available medically. Why is that? When there's so much more marijuana available, there's so many more pot shops in every corner. Well, it's very simple. The black market thrives. You know, the economics don't add up. The governor of California stated, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, he said states that are looking to approve recreational marijuana for an economic boom or to improve themselves financially are making a big mistake and shouldn't do it based on that.
Scott Greenlee led the campaign to vote no to legalize marijuana. He's now looking at municipal level bans on marijuana businesses. Thanks for talking with us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Let's turn now to a spokesman for the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association, Josh Hovey. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Lester.
So we saw voters in these three communities reject proposals for marijuana businesses. What do those votes mean for the industry?
Really not much. The industry, for the most part, is focused on the communities that are welcoming the businesses and the jobs and tax dollars that they bring. And we're convinced that once others see that the sky doesn't fall, that all of the largest concerns that people have about welcoming this industry don't really come true, we believe that more cities and communities across the state will come on board over time.
I wonder how you explain something like Highland Park, for example, when that city voted more than 2-1 for legalizing marijuana, but not for any kind of part of industry.
Well, I think it's really rejecting a ballot initiative approach. When you have a ballot initiative, you don't really get to come up with compromise and have a full open debate. It's really a yes or no decision. And so it's much better for communities to go through a legislative process, hold hearings and gather public input and determine what type of zoning and licensing regulations are best for them rather than to have just an up or down decision.
I guess what I'm wondering is why do you think there seems to be this contradiction voting for recreational marijuana but against the business structure to make it safe and available?
Well, I think there's some communities out there that voted to because they didn't want people being arrested or going through any kind of legal consequences for marijuana use and possession. Some communities might not be ready to welcome a business, but I would encourage them to keep in mind that this is a highly regulated industry. These are very professional organizations that go through a whole lot of vetting at the state. And it's much better for them to welcome these businesses rather than to keep marijuana in the black market.
There are hundreds of city councils, village boards, commissions that have already banned marijuana businesses in their community. Some voters are gathering signatures in some of those towns to get it on the ballot. How common is that? And if what you said earlier about petitions is the case, how successful do you expect that to be?
You know, I think it's going to be a community by decision. And, you know, it's hard to say right now because it all depends on how the initiatives are written at the local level and whether they're written with compromise in mind. There could be some activist groups out there who are far more progressive and far more liberal with their proposals than what the city council might otherwise recommend on its own. And I think that needs to all be taken into mind. And a good ballot initiative will do its own local focus groups and polling and make sure they zero in on what's right for the community. And that's what needs to happen if a ballot initiative is going to be successful.
Are there places where growers, processors, inspection operations are already up and operating or planned for a community that's accepted it?
We have medical marijuana facilities across the state that are already talking with their communities about transitioning into the adult use market. And there are dozens of communities in Michigan that are already working towards approving their adult use ordinances so that they can have both medical and recreational marijuana in their community. And I think that's a smart decision. I mean, the only way for them to benefit from the tax dollars of legalization is to have retail operations in their communities. And that's something that every city needs to keep in mind. If they want to benefit from the tax dollars and the jobs, the only way they do that is through retail.
What is your group, the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association, actually doing to help the industry find places to build the infrastructure it needs?
It's really up to each business owner to find a location that works right for them. What we are doing is serving as a resource. If any elected official wants to gain our opinion and insight into what type of regulation works best for a community and what are some of the best practices, well, we're available and serving as that resource. But we're not actively going out community and lobbying for them to open up their ordinance and to allow these businesses. That's a local decision, and we respect that. From a policy standpoint, we just are able to be a sounding board for best practices and make sure that whatever they're doing is not going to have the unintended consequences of setting the hurdles too high or driving people back into the black market.
Josh Hovey is a spokesman for the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks a lot, Lester.